Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. It's a whirlwind day of news, but we're going to make some time to talk with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes today. You can call in your questions for him at 765-496-1999. Send an email to ask@wbaa.org. Tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon to you. And have you been following the release today of the Mueller report? Seems like that's what everybody in our world is talking about, but what about those of you who are in the real world?
Well, I'll tell you, Stan, it's been a busy day with city meetings. I've met with city councilmen this morning on various issues. We also had a big meeting on the launch of our wellness clinic for our employees this coming July 1st here in the city of Frankfort, partnering with IU Health. So to be honest with you, I haven't even had time to track Twitter or turn on any of the mainstream media. I hear this is over a 400-page document that's been released, so I'm sure this will be dissected every which way from Sunday in the coming days, and I look forward to catching up on it the best I can.
Well, you can certainly listen to WBAA for a lot of that, and I wanted to ask you at least one question about it, because you were somewhat unique in 2016 when president was running for election. You were the only one of the four mayors who were regular guests on this program who were really firmly behind him, and I remember asking you about it at the time, and you were really steadfast in your support for then-candidate Donald Trump. And I wanted to ask, in the last couple of years, especially as this investigation's been going on, how, if at all, have your feelings about the president changed, if at all?
They really haven't. Sure, there are some things that diplomatically I would handle a little bit differently as a leader, but I'm the mayor of a Midwestern community, so I can't put myself in the man's shoes, nor would I even try. Still, I'm a supporter. The thing that I kind of get frustrated with as a mayor of a flyover state here in the Rust Belt, I feel like Washington, D.C. has become so out of touch with what the everyday common person, at least in my neck of the woods, cares about. You know, I know with the 24-hour news cycle, all we're hearing about is this Mueller report. Obviously, the initial determination was out of the AG's office that there was no collusion. You know, I wish that our politicians out in D.C. would get to work on lowering prescription health care costs. I wish they would work on creating that much more jobs. You know, I wish they would work on stimulating our economy and social and economic mobility issues and this huge issue that we have with skills gaps, as opposed to every time I'm turning on the TV, I'm hearing about bickering back and forth across the aisle, investigations, collusion, this and that. I wish we could get to the issues that really matter to the common American. But in terms of my support for President Trump, I open up my paycheck. Less taxes are being taken out now than they were 8 years ago. I personally feel safer as an American. I get in and, you know, I track the investments that my wife and I make. Our 401k is growing. Employment numbers are looking good. Obviously, we still have a lot of obstacles in this country. So that's where I'm at on it.
You said you wanted to get to the things that matter. You don't think it would matter if it turns out that a presidential candidate for the highest office in the land, indeed the leader of the free world, some say, works with a foreign government to get that office?
No, I absolutely believe that would matter. But the initial indication from Bob Mueller himself was that there was no collusion. So now it will be...
I have to stop you there, because that's actually not what the report says. Mueller just says, I'm not going to say whether he should be charged, but it also says he doesn't exonerate the president.
Well, there was, what, over 15 indictments that came out from the Mueller probe? And I'm sure from what I've heard of Bob Mueller, if there was enough evidence there to make an indictment, don't you agree that an indictment would have been made? It didn't stop him in these many other instances.
Well, I'll say, as I've said to a lot of people, I am certainly not a constitutional lawyer, but there seems to be some debate over whether a sitting president can be charged, but that really doesn't have anything to do with the legality of the actions. But anyway, I don't want to spend the entire show on this. I was interested in your thoughts on it since it was, you know, the big news of the day. I do want to move on to things that are happening closer to you in Frankfort. Speaking of elections generally, there's now a calendar for some discussions for people who are on the ballot like yourself this year. I'm curious about the format for the forum that's going to happen between you and Lewis Wheeler on the 30th. Tell me about what you're expecting at that discussion.
Well, I look very much forward to it, and I hope that everyone in Frankfort can come out to the Frankfort Middle School on April 30th and really hear our message, and that's a message of responsible growth. That's a message of keeping Frankfort moving forward and the creation of jobs in our community and the growing of assessed value, which we've done very, very well over these past 8 years, keeping Frankfort safe. We are the eighth safest city in Indiana now. We've grown our city savings account by 25% since I've been in office. But I believe it's going to be a good back and forth. I believe we'll both have time to give introductions, and then we will field a number of questions from the moderators and from the community. The community can write in questions that night. They can send them in ahead of time to the local media outlets that we'll be hosting. And then at the end, we'll have some time for closing remarks. So I very much look forward to the opportunity, and I'm counting down the days.
What were the discussions like between your camp and Mr. Wheeler's people? We noted a lot last year during the elections for State House and State Senate that debates were kind of hard to come by in some cases. It was hard to get candidates to agree to be in the same place at the same time and agree to a format. What were those discussions like for you in terms of where and when and what the format was like?
There really wasn't any debate on that. You know, in our community, it's just become common practice that during the local election cycles, our Chamber of Commerce puts together and hosts these forums. And the format has been the same ever since when I first ran for office. They're the same for the city as they are the county. So I think it's just something every local elected official or candidates come to expect. We get a letter in the mail. We're told when to show up, where to show up, what the format will be. And you know, we really don't ask any questions. I feel it's my duty to do this, and I don't have any qualms about it. I've enjoyed the process in the past, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity on April 30th to proving to the community that we do carry a message of substance, of action, of planning, not just emotions, but actual plans to keep Frankfort moving forward.
This candidate forum comes just a week before Election Day, obviously. Early voting will have started by then. It started in most places already. Is having a forum like this a week before Election Day enough to sway people? Is that enough time, or does there have to be some sort of whiz-bang thing that happens that will change people's minds with that little time left before anybody who hasn't yet voted goes to the polls?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's my only situation, and I did share this with the Chamber of Commerce. I wish the forum was a little bit earlier. I do. I wish that people did have a little more time to digest that message, but you know, this is what we have, so we've got to do the best with what we have. You know, I found at these forums, obviously, it's going to be very polarized. You're going to have many supporters out for both candidates. I'm sure there will be some people there in the audience that night that are still making up their minds, and I understand that this forum will be live streamed over the radio and perhaps over social media, so people will be able to watch that. It will be archived. But my mindset is just like it always is. I'm 10 points down going into Election Day, and we're just going to continue to grind it out and work very hard. And I'm going to continue to do my job as mayor as well as do my job as a candidate.
What do you hope to learn during this process, whether it's from the questions that are asked by the public or from your opponent? Because I think a lot of times what happens in debates is you get people who have talking points and they have entrenched positions one way or another. And you get a lot of candidates talking past one another or saying, well, I don't accept the premise of my opponent's statement, things like that. What do you do to have a conversation that matters to the people of Frankfort, that gives them the information they need to choose between two people of the same party? So there's probably a lot you agree on, and gives them the opportunity to make sure that they are learning and you are getting the information you need so that one of the two of you is the next leader of Frankfort and is as well informed as you can be.
Well, what I'm going to try to do is keep emotions out of it. And unfortunately, in this particular race, there's been a lot of emotion, there's been a lot of passion, there's been a lot of things shared on social media that are absolutely untrue. And with this day and age of communications, you're unable to tell the truth fast enough to debunk some of these wild and crazy accusations that get made on Facebook. You know, I was accused of attempting to order off a veterans menu on Veterans Day at Olive Garden when I asked for the menu for my friend, Dr. Koshel, who was a great Army veteran, and I wanted to make sure he had that menu, and all of a sudden it's up on social media. So I hope to keep things like that completely out of it, keep the emotions out of it, and have a conversation based on fact, based on analysis based on data, based on the plans, the substance and plans that my opponent maybe has for Frankfurt. I really don't think he has plans. I think he has a lot of emotion and passion, perhaps. I'll give him emotion, but not a lot of plans. Well, we have substance, and we have a lot of successes to lean on to prove that our plans are working. $159 million investment in Frito-Lay, eighth safest city in the state of Indiana, growing our savings account by 25%, increasing our city general fund
over
$3 million.
I'm going to stop you right there because obviously we're not going to let you campaign on the program. But let me ask one other thing about the debates. You have obviously worked a lot with Shan Sheridan, the Chamber of Commerce president, who's going to be moderating your forum and others. But I got to ask, is it fair for that person to be the moderator, someone who's been a close ally of yours, someone you've spoken glowingly about on this program and elsewhere? Is it possible that maybe they should find another moderator?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not Shan Sheridan that asked the questions. The local media asked the questions. Shan basically just keeps score and says, okay, it's this individual's turn to answer, and then it's this individual's turn to answer. Okay, your time's up. Your time's not up. You can keep going. So in regards
as someone myself who has moderated debates in events like this, one of the things you do get to do as moderator is decide, you know, when do you actually cut somebody off? When do you allow them to go a couple of seconds over their time to finish a thought or not? Shouldn't it be a priority of yours to make sure that you have no appearance whatsoever that you've got an advantage from being the incumbent because you know all the people, you've been working with all of these people over the course of the last 8 years? Wouldn't it be better to just say, look, we've got a completely impartial group. It's the journalists who are just covering the race and try to find some way to make sure that there's no appearance whatsoever of anything that could be viewed, as you said, on social media, could be viewed one way or the other?
Well, I'm definitely not going to poorly critique this process because, again, it's been something we've been doing in our community now for years. And obviously, this is a smaller community, so no matter who you pick, obviously, you're going to have a connection with that individual. And I believe that our voters are smart enough that they're going to be able to take in the responses from my opponent and myself and then go to the polls and make a well-informed decision. And that's what this process is about. If you would have asked me to come on a debate with WBAA, I would have done it in a heartbeat. If the Chamber of Commerce asked me, I'm going to do that. So this was my opportunity to get my message out there. I'm going to embrace it. The Frankfurt Times and WILO, of course, will be a part of that process as well. I think it's a good process, and I think our voters will be able to come, get good information, and then go to the polls and make a well-informed decision.
You posted on Facebook the other day that you said there may be a fake video surfacing on Facebook which claims I'm withdrawing from the race for mayor. What was that all about?
Well, again, Stan, there's been so much false information spread on Facebook, and evidently there was at least one fake instance that I saw that people were trying to spread a message that I was withdrawing from the race, so I simply wanted to get it out there that was not the case. And that's unfortunately something that we've been constantly chasing in this election. But again, in our door knocking and the grassroots efforts that we've been a part of in this campaign, I believe that our message is getting out there, and we're going to continue to hack away at it until the day of the election. Unfortunately, this process, though, has become fueled a lot by passion, misinformation, and crazy, crazy things being shared on social media. It taints the process, but it's something that we deal with the best we can.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfurt Mayor Chris McBarnes. Call in your questions at 765-496-1999. Email them to ask@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Something we didn't get to talk to you about last month because we ran out of time was that you have appointed Center Township Trustee Kevin Evans to a job where he'll be overseeing the blighted properties in your city. This is something you and I have talked about on a number of occasions, trying to remediate properties, or if they can be remediated, or tear them down if they are just too much of an eyesore. Why did it come to be that the city needed a person for whom that's their main job?
So what we did here, it's not a new position that we created. We actually, our director of property maintenance transitioned into another position with Clinton County government, and we applauded her with that because that was an upward move in her career, and so I'm so happy for her, which opened up the director of property maintenance position, and I simply took a step back and really talked with our building inspector and our Board of Works. Are we getting the most out of this position? Can we retool it and rework it to better serve our needs? And this idea of housing and the director of housing initiatives and property maintenance, really, really honing in on our existing housing stock, modernizing it, figuring out how we continue to attract new housing opportunities to our community, whether it be building new homes like we're doing on the corner of Clinton and Oy Street on infill lots or bringing in new subdivisions. This is something that our community needs desperately. I'm telling you, if we don't get this housing situation right, we will not be able to attract private investment and more jobs here in the future. I talk to our industry leaders. They say, Mayor, we need workers, and the only way to get more workers is to attract them to a community that has good housing, good education, good amenities, that's safe. So this isn't a silver bullet, but it's a very important tool in our arsenal to help better the housing situation here in the city.
As I mentioned, you and I have talked about this over the course of years now as something that you've been focused on. What's the list look like in terms of the number of properties that need attention? How long is it?
Well, I can tell you just, and one other thing that we did to make the process more efficient, we moved all of our code enforcement individuals, which is two, over to our police department, and they're working under shift captain Jim Skinner. So they are working hand in hand with the police department. As our police officers are out on the streets in a neighborhood and they're seeing a lot of blight, tires in a yard, you know, an old sofa on the front porch, they're able to interact with code enforcement. And to give you some numbers, since the beginning of this year, our code enforcement individuals, they've written 208 actual tickets that individuals either pay or go to city court and talk to our judge about, and they've written 286 warnings to date. So, you know, this is a real issue in our community. We have a lot of our older, beautiful Victorian homes that unfortunately prior to this administration were chopped up into multifamily rental units. And these rental units at times aren't even sanitary for individuals to be living in. And so we're combating all of this while at the same time attempting to attract new housing to our community. We've come a long way in 8 years, but we have a long, long way to go. And this is a part of what it's going to take to grow private investment, which drives tax rates down and cost of living down, which is why we've retooled this position in the building inspector's department, really made it a focus, and also moved code enforcement to the police department to make that process a little more efficient and effective.
Are we talking about like hundreds of homes?
I think that's fair to say. I think if we could take 50 to 60 homes around our downtown core in the Christian Ridge Historic District, the South District of Frankfort, we could revitalize those homes. I think you would see an amazing difference. And so that's kind of our target right now is 50 to 60 homes. How do we get them completely rehabbed? How do we work these infill lots where we've had to tear unsafe, blighted properties down through boards such as the Hearing Authority over the past 8 years, which you and I have talked about? How do we get developers such as Majestic Homes, who they've done a wonderful job down on Clinton Street building this beautiful new home on what was once a home that was a drug house that was infested, that was torn down by actually the previous administration. Now we have a beautiful new home going up and a new family coming to Frankfort. That's the kind of progress we need, and that's the kind of progress we want.
So it sort of sounds like you have a tiered list. You've got 50 or 60 that are in the top tier of, hey, we need to work on this right away. And then there are others below that, which are like, yeah, we'd like to work on these, but they're not as urgent as the top tier.
Correct. And in our building inspector's department, Kevin and Sam Payne, you know, they're working on more of those trouble properties, the burned out properties, the properties that are unsafe that need to come down. Kevin's working on housing initiatives such as filling in our infill lots and attracting new subdivisions, which I believe we will get. Our code enforcement department are working on those second and third tier, just kind of the maintenance areas, people that aren't setting their trash out at the right time, that have old ratty sofas out on the front porch, that have tires in the backyard, those general blight issues, they're out there like piranhas hitting that. And with those two forces working together over time, we're going to continue to see progress.
Just having a vision of giant carnivorous fish going after the bad properties in your town.
So. Well, they're pretty intense, and that's the way we like it, though, because that's one of the biggest things I've heard from the citizenry, Stan, is they're tired of seeing this, so that's why we've made it a point in the administration to tackle it.
onto other things. Teachers in your community, as well as several others around the state, have spent some time rallying in recent weeks for better pay. Do you think that the governor and the budget writers in the Indiana General Assembly have allocated enough extra money for teacher salaries in this year's budget? We've talked a lot about how when investment is considering whether to move to a new city, one of the things you guys as public officials get asked first is how good are your schools? Mm-hmm. And we've heard that argument made by the teachers in the last couple of weeks as the budget has gotten closer and closer to its final form. What's your opinion as somebody who's actively trying to get as much investment as he can get into a small to mid-sized city with respect to how your schools, which we have to say, haven't had some great grades in recent years. I mean, there have been C's, D's, and F's given to some schools in Clinton County in the last couple of years. What's your opinion of the teacher pay issue?
Well, and I have to say our high school, on the other hand, has been given an A rating in years past, and I am a big believer in our education system. I went through our education system, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. I owe where I'm at today to my teachers at the Frankfort High School, Middle School, Southside, Suncrest Elementary School. Here's my stance on it. We need it. We need to increase the pay of our teachers. You know, I don't know how we got to where we're at in society where middle linebackers on football teams make $36 million a year, and teachers and police officers barely make enough money to take their kids on vacation on spring break. That's one thing that I saw when we came into office. You know, our first-class patrol officers were making around $37,000 a year. For someone that goes out there and could get shot and killed any day in the line of duty, I'm sorry, that's just not fair. So, you know, we've made it a priority. We've raised those wages by close to 37% since I've been in office, and we're paying our public safety officials what they deserve. Obviously, I don't have a direct impact on teacher pay, but I believe the same should be said for our teachers, because you're absolutely right. Education, safety, it's a huge part of economic development. It's how we keep Indiana moving forward. It's how we continue to attract private investment here. So I certainly hope our lawmakers are focusing on this. I know it's been a focus of our governor. I support it because I believe these people are the heroes of society, and they need to be making a fair wage to also then encourage younger people to go to college to get that education degree to go after that career in life as well, so that we have good teachers coming up in the pipeline. That's a reality. We need to pay them what they're worth.
What have you been watching as the legislative session is now in its last couple of weeks? Are there some things you would cite as the best things you think have happened where Frankfort is concerned, or some things that are a little worrisome to you?
There's always regulations that seem to get threaded through, more bureaucracy that we tend to come up for air for. Some of these things include housing impact studies. For example, there was a bill, and it narrowly passed the House. We'll see what happens in the Senate, that basically states that any time we would put in a new sidewalk as a community, any time there would be a facade grant program or something would be done in a neighborhood, a full-blown housing impact study would have to be carried out to show how that would impact residential rates for properties. Things like this, a smaller community like Frankfort, a third-class city, you know, we simply don't have the staff for. We would do our best to get these things done, and we understand that at times that studies like this need to be created for more data-driven decision-making. Just don't make it to the point that we can't keep up with all this bureaucracy and the regulations that sometimes get thrown down upon us by federal and state government. So that's one. Another would be we continue to keep an eye on annexation bills. Annexation has kind of become a four-letter word because you've got some people in the state of Indiana that they've abused annexation, to be quite frank. In the city of Frankfort, we haven't done that. I know I've talked to you a lot in the past. We do have a desire over time, not overnight, but over time, to grow our city. And obviously, we're looking westward. We're working hand-in-hand with Clinton County as we look at the beachhead of 28 and 65 and the development that could happen in our industrial park and along State Road 28. And our city has to have opportunities to grow in the future. That's how we, again, I know I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we grow AV, we attract more private investment, we drive tax rates down, we drive cost of living down. So obviously, every year when there are these new annexation bills that are virtually starting to make it impossible for cities to grow, that's of concern.
Of course, it's your party that controls the governor's office and both houses of the state legislature and have for some time now. You have talked, and mayors of all political stripes on this party, of this program, have talked about how government regulation sometimes gets in the way. Is it ironic that Republicans who tend to run for office on a platform of less government regulation seem to be getting in the way by producing more government regulation for you local mayors?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, obviously there's going to be things we disagree on. You know, I don't know how many bills are introduced every year in the session. I don't have that number. A guy like you would probably know a little more about that than me. There's certainly not one or two. There's
several hundred.
Several hundred. So I'm not sitting here saying 85 or 90% of these bills are kibosh. There's always going to be things we disagree on. And these different legislators, some of them are in communities that have local elected officials who have abused these different tools. And so they have constituents reaching out to them. And so it is incumbent upon them to fight for things. And that's what makes the whole process better. And what I can say is, and what I've been happy about, anytime I've had an issue with something, you know, my state rep, Heath Van Natter, my state senator, Brian Buchanan, they always pick up the phone, they always listen, they always empathize, and even if we're on opposing sides of something, we always find a way to compromise. And that's really what, at the end of the day, I think what every local mayor is looking for. And I have to say too, Stan, you know, yeah, I believe that a lot of the policies that we've created obviously have had a huge part to play in the major investments that we've experienced in our city. But, you know, the state also has a part to play in that. People like Frito-Lay, you know, they could invest in different states. And I believe Indiana is a state that works. We have had good regulation control and economic development policy on the state level. And so that has aided local communities in our ability to create more jobs and attract more private investment. And so I applaud state leadership when it comes to that.
One last topic in our last couple of minutes here. Your police chief, Troy Bacon, has been named to the board of the Indiana Criminal Justice Institute. What should the city hope to get from his appointment to that board?
Well, I think it's somewhat of a two-way street. It's what we're going to get from them, but it's what they're going to get from us. Our chief of police, Troy Bacon, a graduate of the FBI Academy, an outstanding leader. I'm so thankful to have him as chief of police here in Frankfort. Obviously, Troy and I have worked hand in hand, and along with our police officers and our citizens, Frankfort has risen to the eighth safest city in Indiana. So they're going to get a lot from us, I believe, on how to create a true community policing model and how to create safer communities in the state. But I also hope as well to bring further cutting-edge policy to Frankfort to make our citizens even safer. So I'm very proud that we have a chief of police that stays connected on a local level. We had a police community meeting here just a few weeks back at our local extension office here on South Jackson Street. We have coffee with cops. We have ice cream cones with cops. We have all these public meetings, which has been a big reason why we've been able to drive crime down by bridging that gap between citizenry and police officers. But I'm also happy that we have a chief of police that's connecting himself on the state and national level so that we can bring best practices that other states and other communities are doing throughout the Midwest of the United States, bring it right back here to the Gem City. And you know, we're not going to stop until we're the safest city. Eighth safest city isn't good enough. We can't become complacent, and Troy's going to keep us on the ball.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We really appreciate it. It's certainly a busy news day, but we were not going to get through it without having a talk with you on Ask the Mayor. Thanks as always for your time, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you at the forum and elsewhere in the coming weeks.
And hopefully next month, Stan, you and I will both have had time to go through that 400-page Mueller report, and we can continue to go back and forth on that. What do you say?
Good bedtime reading for the both of us.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, thanks as always, and please do listen next week at this time for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. You can find all of these shows archived at WBAA.org, and you can send an email at any time for any of our four mayors to ask@WBAA.org. Tweet us also at WBAA News on Twitter. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Have a good rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.